James, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He doesn't say if, he says when. So I want to start out by asking you, the next time you fall into some kind of trial, some kind of situation that is extremely difficult, causes you to worry, just fills your heart with fear and panic, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, it's so important to prepare ahead of time, to be prepared, to prepare your heart, because it's not if, it's when. And so what I want to do is I want to give you four things to remember and then one specific thing to do. And I think the account that models this best for us is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and if you need a Bible, you can go ahead and raise your hand. One of the ushers, they'll bring a Bible right to you, and then you can turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Now, maybe you are going through something right now that it's so difficult, and you're afraid, you're not quite sure what's going to happen, how things are going to work out. And you're losing hope. You're getting to a point where, out of desperation, you just are starting to feel that it's over, that it's done. Well, I want to tell you that with Jesus, it's a whole different outcome. It's a whole different story. And so I titled this message, Don't Be Afraid, Only Believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. So with that, let's go ahead and turn our eyes to verse 40. So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him, that is Jesus. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of Jesus' garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus, he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. And Father, we thank you for your word and for this time that we could spend being ministered to by your word. And God, I have to believe that there are individuals listening that they're in a desperate situation. And they're ready to quit. They're ready to throw in the towel. But they're here. They're listening. And so, God, I pray that you would encourage them, encourage their faith, strengthen them. Jesus, help them to see things from your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a fascinating account, and it's very encouraging and inspiring when you consider what Jesus did for people who were in desperate need. Now, I want to just share with you a few things, especially if you are in a situation and you're at a loss as to what to do. I want to share just a few principles and hope that these things will encourage you. And these are things to remember, things to think about while you're dealing with whatever it is you might be dealing with. There are four things that, if you're a note taker, you could write down. They're just simple words. And then we'll consider what each one means for us today, and then one specific thing to do. So the first of the four words is situations. Situations. The second is limitations. Then the third is desperation. And then the fourth is worsening. Worsening. So let's start with that, and then we'll end with the fifth thing, the last thing, the thing to do. Now, when we consider situations, here we have two situations. One, we're introduced to a man who has a daughter, 12-year-old daughter, and she's on her deathbed. This is a horrible situation. And this man, he was a ruler of a synagogue, probably well known in the community, most likely, and did a lot of things for the service of God. And yet he was hit with something that was just so terrible. That was his situation. And then we're introduced to another individual with very different situation. Very, very different set of circumstances. And this is a woman who, she had an issue of blood. And for 12 years, she's been dealing with this. And there's been, so far, no resolve. Nothing's gotten any better. And in her case, she's exhausted all her resources trying to get help. And here's the principle, here's the fact for those who believe. No matter what situation we might find ourselves in, and there are all different kinds of situations, these folks are very, very different in every way you can imagine. And even though their situations were different, it was the same solution. And that was Jesus. Different situations, the same solution. And that's always something to remember, no matter what we might be dealing with, that the fact is Jesus is the answer to all of man's problems. And you see this throughout the Gospels. Every single problem anyone had, anyone who turned to him, no matter how severe it was, he was the answer for all of their problems. The second thing that's important to remember is the help from man, although it is good, it's limited. You know, this woman and this man, Jairus, they both realized that there was nobody that could help them except for Jesus. You know, Jairus, I would imagine he had consulted doctors as well for his daughter. There was no help. You know, even his service, maybe even he thought, you know, why is this happening to me? And regardless of what his situation was, there was no one that can help him, because the help of man is limited. The same thing, we see this even more so in the life of the woman who had the issue of blood. She spent 12 years trying to get help, and she spent all her resources, and not a single doctor could help her. And that's a principle for us to keep in mind when we're facing hardships. Yep, the help of man is okay, it's good, but it's limited. But Jesus, the help that comes from God, is unlimited. We have, as people of faith, an unlimited source of help in Christ. And it's always good to remember that when we're facing very difficult situations. I have a God who cares about me. And even though I might not understand why I've been going through what I've been going through, or why I'm facing what I'm facing, or what the future holds, I have a God that I can rely upon, that can help me. And he has unlimited grace, unlimited mercy, unlimited strength, and an unlimited ability to change me through this and to help me, instead of seeing this as such a horrible thing, to help me see, God, what good can come from this, and how can this bring you glory? Now, we move to desperation, and you know, sometimes circumstances bring us to a place of desperation where we feel like we have no hope. This is it. It's over. And as people of faith, we have to push through desperation. And desperation is good if it brings you to a point of dependency. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have gone through some very difficult things, desperate situations? But instead of you getting so discouraged that you were ready to quit, you said, God, I'm going to trust you through this. And now looking back, you're just blown away at how God helped you through that. And he strengthened you. Maybe things didn't go the way you thought they were going to go or the way you wanted them to go. But in the end, you could see how God's plans and purposes were just so good, and you're so thankful. And so if desperation brings us to a point of dependency, that's a good thing. And maybe you're going through something and you haven't reached that point yet. So I want to encourage you, persevere through the desperation and start trusting Jesus. And when people do trust Jesus through their difficulties, it's also important to remember that sometimes things get worse before they get better. Because if you don't remember that in the process of trust, of trusting Jesus, then you can get blindsided and get so discouraged. It's like, God, I was trusting you, and then things got worse. And think of Jairus. You know, here Jairus seeks Jesus' help, and then there's this interruption, and there's this woman who interrupts this whole thing, and then Jesus stops and he gives her attention. And we don't know how long that went, but during that process, during that time, his daughter died, and then he gets the news. Hey, it's too late. Now, things got worse before they got better. And so it's important to remember, no matter what situation we might be dealing with, no matter what limitations there are, no matter how desperate the situation seems, and even if things start to get worse, it's always so important to remind ourselves. Remember what David would tell himself. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. And it's so important that that inner talk is encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Now, let's look at this, and then we'll look at the fifth thing in a little bit. Now, Jesus, he had just come back from being told, get out of our area. And the people there, it was revealed that even though the facts, the evidence was right in front of them about who Jesus was, they didn't want Jesus as a part of their life, a part of their life. And sadly, that's how some people are. They just don't want Jesus a part of their life. And so they say, get out. I don't want your help. Well, that is what the town that Jesus had gone to earlier, that's what they did. They didn't want him there. But when he came back to where he was prior, it was a very different reception, and the multitude, it tells us, they welcomed him. They were waiting for him because he had did things that no one else had done. And even though he did things that no one else had done in the community he was in prior, they rejected, but these folks, they received him. And that's always the best thing to do, is receive Jesus. Always, and welcome him into whatever situation you are going through. Always. And it was then where Jairus, he came, and he was in such a desperate situation. Here he's the ruler of the synagogue, as it tells us in verse 41. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house. And it tells us, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Now, Jairus, being a ruler of a synagogue, he was really going against what a lot of other religious leaders in his day, their mentality and how they felt about Jesus, because a lot of them saw Jesus as a threat. And a lot of the religious leaders didn't like Jesus, and then others were intimidated and afraid, because if they were to follow Jesus, you know, that could have some real grave consequences for them. So Jairus, he was in a very difficult situation, but he had to overcome some of his own struggles in order to, seek Jesus' help. He had to overcome the fear of how he would be treated by other religious leaders. He had some hurdles that he had to overcome, but when push came to shove, he knew, regardless of all that, there's only one person that can help me. There's only one person. And that's Jesus. And he's here. And I'm going to seek him, and I'm going to just bring my situation to him because I need him. And so he falls down, begging him to come to his house. And he just humbled himself before the Lord. And obviously it was because his only daughter was about to die. He had no hope in man. There was no one that can help him except for Jesus. And so Jesus goes to help him. And then in this journey, now stops or interrupts this progression, this woman. We don't know her name, but what we do know is she had this flow of blood for 12 years. And she had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. And Mark tells us that she thought to herself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, the border of his garment, I'll be healed. And this woman, she believed that if she can just get to Jesus, even though it seemed like an impossibility, and there were so many discouraging situations. Maybe she was hopeful she was going to see a new doctor. Perhaps, hey, this doctor really has helped a lot of people, and things seemed hopeful as she just kept for this 12 years of trying to get this issue of blood healed and resolved, getting her hopes up, and then getting discouraged all over again. And then as a woman in that culture, she had to break different kinds of barriers. First, there was the crowd, and then also just being a woman and touching a rabbi and her being unclean, so to speak, because of the issue of blood and touching someone else. I mean, there's just so many things that she had to get over. But her faith, which wasn't just something in her head, her faith moved her to act, and that's what real faith is. Real faith moves a person to action. And so she moved, regardless of what obstacles she had to deal with. She moved, and probably some of the most difficult obstacles she had would be the obstacles in her own heart. Doubts, depression, anxiety, worry. She could have thought, I'll never get. I mean, when she saw that crowd, Peter said, multitudes. I'll never get to him. There's just no way. She had to overcome all those things that were going on inside of her. But she did. Her faith helped her to overcome all those things. And so in verse 44, she came from behind and she just touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Now, I think she seemed to be just happy getting healed and then kind of, you know, just fading away into the crowd. But our Lord wasn't going to allow that to happen. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now, when she heard those words, she probably thought, "Should I say something?" Her temperature probably got pretty hot. And everybody denied it. It doesn't tell us that she denied it, but, you know, everybody, nobody touched him. Or maybe people are saying, you know, maybe people were touching him, but, you know, just, "Lord, Lord," but not in any way that would make a difference. But this one woman's touch made a difference. It was the touch of faith. Everybody else was just, "Lord, Lord." But her, it was a matter of, "God, I know you can heal me. Jesus, I know you can help me. I believe you can help me." And so Peter, he says, "Master, the multitude throng and presses you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And then he tells us, he says, "This touch was different because I perceive power going out from me." And see, our Lord has an unlimited resource of power, of strength. And she tapped into that. And she did that by faith. "Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." Now, you know, when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Do you think he asked because he didn't know? So why do you think he did this? Well, he did this because he wanted to use this as a teaching moment. And just as much as he was teaching the crowd then, he's teaching us today too. He teaches every listener. And so if you're listening, if you're truly hearing, then this is a lesson for you. It's a lesson for me. He wanted to bring out her faith. And he wanted to use her as an example to everyone that was there. This is what faith looks like. This is what trusting and relying upon me looks like. When a person really trusts me, then they can tap into a power that is divine and is able to help. And so he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And I have to believe that there are some of you here, some of you that are listening, your faith is going to make you well. And you're going to walk away in peace. You know, we serve the same God. Now we're going to talk about you know, balancing faith with reality, because I don't want to, you know, encourage blind faith. So we'll talk a little bit about balancing faith with reality. And what I mean by that is, you know, Jesus, he only raised 3 people from the dead. He healed a multitude of people, but he only raised 3 people from the dead. And then you see that although the apostles also did some miraculous things, you know, as time went on, you don't see the miraculous. Not saying that God can't do the miraculous. That's not what I'm saying. But you don't see the miraculous happening. I mean, as far as people raised from the dead, from what I can remember, there weren't many in all of human history. I can't even remember them all, but I think there's 3 in the Old Testament. There was a widow's son, another woman's son, then this guy that was dead, and they threw him on one of the prophet's body. I think it was Elijah or Elisha, either one. It was one of those guys. And life came back to him. And then in Jesus' ministry, it was Jairus' daughter, the woman of Nain's son, I believe, and Lazarus. And then in the book of Acts, it was Tabitha, right? Dorcas, she did a whole bunch of good things for the community, and she died. And then I think Peter raised her from the dead. And I'm going off the top of my memory, so please forgive me if I get names. But you could confirm these things. And then there was Eutychus. You know why this one's scary? Because he fell asleep during a service. And it ended up causing his death. And so, you know, why is that? Well, in the ministry of Jesus, there were Old Testament prophecies that were written in regards to what the Messiah would do while he was here ministering. And it talks about how he would heal people and do the miraculous. And while the Messiah was here, it was be a common thing, a regular thing, because these miracles and the miraculous things that Jesus did while he was on the earth, they would point out to the people that this is the Messiah, because nobody in all of history could ever do these kinds of things, not like this and to this capacity. And even with the ministry of the apostles, you know, miracles never save people, but what miracles do is miracles validate the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. And in the early church, there were miracles that validated the message that the apostles were preaching, because that way it would show the people that Jesus, and then he left the church to the care of the apostles, that these apostles were indeed the representatives of Christ to the world. And then the doctrines of Christ and, you know, and the gospel and the doctrines of Christ began to spread all over. And God, throughout this and to where we are now, he arranged where his word has been recorded, and all of us have a Bible in our hands or our laps and or on our phones. And God preserved his word. He preserved the gospel message. But we do have a God that can heal, but maybe he won't raise someone from the dead, or he might not heal in the way that you would like him to heal. But that doesn't mean that he can't help. And so we got to be biblical and balanced when we're seeking the Lord. But we have to believe that no matter what our situation is, no matter how desperate it is, no matter what the limitations of man are, and no matter even if things get worse before they get better, God can still help. God will help. The question is will you believe? Will you believe? Now, he or she went in peace. But there's still Jairus, and it tells us in verse 49, while he was still speaking, someone from the ruler of the synagogue's house, he had come saying to Jairus, Jairus, it's over, man. Your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the teacher. Don't bother him. And see, they were, whoever this was thinking very narrow-mindedly. They were thinking that this is the facts. Humanly speaking, there's no hope. It's done. It's over. These are the facts. That they weren't thinking of the fact that Jesus was there. They were thinking, oh, this is going to be a bother to Jesus. You know, it doesn't bother Jesus when we go to him with our problems. Not at all. He can handle whatever situation we have. And so, you know, certainly Jesus could sense in Jairus that he got discouraged because things got worse. And so what does Jesus tell him? Even though it looks like it's over, this is it. Jesus had a whole different perspective. And he told him, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Don't be afraid, only believe. And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. And Jesus, he says to them, don't weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. You know, and the word of God always goes, the word of faith always goes against human experience, generally, like stuff like this. I guess what I'm trying to say is when man says it's over, God says, no, it ain't. Not if you trust me. It's over if you believe that. If you believe the word of man, yep, then you can, you know, be discouraged, be depressed, be hopeless, be worried, and just walk in despair. You can do that if you believe the word of man. But if you believe me, and trust me, you'll see what I can do. And so we naturally, they just all ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. And so you know what he did? And sometimes this is a good idea. This is a good lesson for us, you know. All those negative people that sometimes are in our journey of faith, when we're trying to trust Jesus and do things God's way, and there's those negative people that just come from a human perspective and just ridicule and say, your God's not going to help you. You got to put them away. Not put them out. Just put them away. Get away from those faithless people. And sometimes it could be even Christians. They don't have the faith. And that's a sad thing because that doesn't make sense that a Christian doesn't have faith. But sadly, sometimes that's how people are. They don't have faith. They're discouraging. And so you got to put them all on the outside. And he took the little girl by the hand and said, "Little girl, arise." And you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is a reality that's going to happen to all believers. Because the scriptures, they describe sleeping. They talk about how one day we're going to die. That's what it looks like. But in reality, you know, the body goes to what it looks like. It's death. But it's from God's perspective, when you die, you go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the body goes in to the ground. But one day, just like last night, you went to bed. Some of you might have been up all night, but eventually you'll go to sleep. There's a resurrection. You know, last night I went to bed at like 9 o'clock, and then I got out of bed at about 5:30 this morning. There was a resurrection. I went to sleep, and then I rose from the bed. And that's what's going to happen for us, but we're going to rise from the dead. And this is a promise that we have. And it's even more stamped with a period, if you would, when Jesus rose from the dead. And that's our hope. And in reality, no matter what we face, no matter what it is, whether it's death, maybe we lose a loved one, or we get the news that, hey, what you have is fatal. Whether it's disease, Jesus walked on water. He calmed the storms. In other words, he healed and delivered that demoniac in the story earlier. And all that does is it shows us that Jesus is the authority over death, over disease. He is the authority over darkness, the power of darkness, over creation. Jesus is indeed the authority of all authorities. And that's why it only makes sense to trust him, no matter what we're going through. It only makes sense. And so ultimately, regardless of what we might be dealing with here, our future is secure. And everything, he heals all your diseases, that's going to happen. There's going to be that resurrection. I mean, everything that we can imagine that scares us, God's already in his Son conquered all those things. The worst enemies that we have is death and disease. And as far as from God's perspective, in Christ, those things are already been defeated. That's why we can say, and the Bible tells us, we can say we are more than conquerors in Christ. And so he says, "Little girl, arise." And her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. Isn't that great? And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. And you think, well, why wouldn't he want it to get word out? Well, because he wanted to protect, you know, the family. I'm sure, you know, people would just be going over there and bombarding the house. What happened? What happened? So he said, hey, she's sleeping. She's okay. And he didn't want, you know, a bunch of notoriety. I mean, he was already dealing with crowds and crowds. And he didn't come here, you know, to draw a lot of attention to himself, but to preach the gospel. And so, you know, he was already with parables trying to weed out people who were seeking him for the wrong motive. But these folks, they were not seeking him with the wrong motive. And so I have to believe that you're here today, you're listening, and you're not seeking the Lord with the wrong motive. You're here for a reason. Yeah. And so we talked about the fifth thing. You know, there's four things to remember, but there's only one thing to do whenever we fall into various trials, hardships, really, there's only one thing to do. And Jesus says this, do not be afraid, only believe. And that's the one thing, only believe. Only believe. And interesting that he says, only believe. In other words, whatever you're dealing with, you don't have room for doubt. There's no room for fear. There's no room for worry. There's no room for that. Whatever you're facing, you have a choice to make. Either you're going to believe the voice of fear, the voice of worry, the voice of doubt. And I tell you, if you do that, you're going to experience just more hopelessness and desperation. Or you choose to say, I don't have time or room for any of those things. The only thing for me to do is trust Jesus. Only believe. And when you only believe, you'll know you're only believing because this kind of faith has legs. This kind of faith moves forward in what's right and what's pleasing to God, even if there's no immediate change. So you know when you are believing and trusting God because you're going to keep acting by faith. You're going to keep walking and doing what's right and seeking the Lord in spite of what fear is telling you, what the world's telling you, or what worry's telling you, what you're still going to do what's right because you're believing and trusting in Jesus. And so as we close here, next time, you fall into various trial in some kind of situation, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Remember the words of our Lord, don't be afraid, only believe. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and how faithful you have been to us. God, you are so good. Truly, you are so good. And Lord, whatever situations we might be going through today, or maybe something that happened in the past and we've kind of been stuck, God, we hear your word. And we don't want to just be those who hear your word. We want to live it. We want to do it. Because that's what your word tells us. Don't just be hearers, but doers of the word. And so your word to us today is don't be afraid, only believe. And we want to walk in your word. Because you're so good and faithful. We love you and we thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.